Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, that be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Look, my nigga, this is dedication. This is anti-hesitation. This is real nigga celebration. This is Don Black declaration. 59th and 5th Ave, granny house with vanilla waiting. This is remedy to separation. Tupac of my generation. Blue pill in the fucking matrix. Red rose in the great pavement. Young black nigga trapped and he can't change it. Know he a genius, he just can't claim it. Cause they left him no platform to explain it. He frustrated so he get faded. Like deep down inside, he know you can't fail. How long should I stay dedicated? How long till opportunity meet preparation? I need some real nigga reparation. Or I run up in your bank just for recreation. Dedication, hard work, plus patience. Some more of my sacrifice, I'm done waiting. I'm done waiting, told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication. Dedication.
Love.
I spent my whole life thinking out the box. Boxing homies 3-on-1, got DP, but I ain't dropped. Trip on me, here I come. Spin around the block, they broke on me. Said I ran a stop sign, but that's a lie. I spent my whole life staring at the stage, playing Sega, daddy smoking Sherm, mama playing spades, catching papers. Grandma said I'd get some Jordan for my grades, that's my baby. When she died, my heart broke 100 ways. I spent my whole life trying to make it, trying to chase it. The cycle of a black man divided, trying to break it. You take a lost shit, don't cry about it, just embrace it. Minor setbacks for major comebacks, that's my favorite. My nigga L said you do a song with Nip, K-Dot, he a better grip. I said he a man first, you hear the words out his lips. About flourishing from the streets to black businesses. Level 4 yard living, giving to false imprisonment. Listen close, my nigga, it's bigger than deuces and foes, my nigga. Since elementary, we close, my nigga, you're straight like that. I give you the game, go back to the turf and give it right back. For generations, we've been dealt bad hands with bad plans. Prove your dedication by hopping out Grand Am. I'm at the premiere, politicking with Top Nip and Snoop. Damn, clock watching the way we move. Dedication.
If it ain't
congratulating,
it looks like
hate.
If it ain't congratulating, it looks like what
Nip
say.
Hold up.
Blah. This ain't entertainment, it's four niggas on a slave ship. These songs just the spirituals I swam against them waves with. Ended up on shore to their amazement. I hope the example I set's not contagious. Lockers behind gates but can't tame us. Used to be stay safe, now stay dangerous. Cause ain't no point playing defense, nigga. That's why I dove off the deep end, nigga, without a life jacket. Couple meals for the world, all my life cracking. Cook the books, bring it back, so it's no taxes. Royalties, publishing, plus our own masters. I'd be damned if I slave for some white crackers. I was mapping this out, I hit the heights backwards. Topping out the 85 and Reebok classics. Read a couple marathons just to get established. To make it happen, you got to have it. Dedication, hard work, plus patience. To some more of my sacrifice, I'm done waiting. I'm done waiting, told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication. Dedication.
Ah! Ah!
It was the question many of President Bush's critics had been waiting to hear for weeks.
On Iraq, the so-called Downing Street memo from July 2002 says intelligence and facts were being fixed around the policy of removing Saddam through military action.
The memo says that the head of British intelligence told the British government that President Bush saw a war against Saddam as inevitable and that intelligence in Washington was, quote, being fixed around the policy.
We now have the so-called smoking gun memo from British officials written in the summer of 2002, detailing the ways in which the Bush administration was planning to manipulate intelligence to create a culture of fear around weapons of mass destruction in Iraq to justify a war.
Let me now turn to our program for the future.
Economy right now, it's extremely supporting of the president and his policy.
FBI scientists have found chemical traces consistent with a bomb or a missile on a piece of wreckage.
Police using clubs and tear gas against demonstrators.
So-and-so and a white fascist. Like they said, you're getting some of your own medicine.
Right one, then the rest will fall behind. Tell me who's got control of your mind, your worldview. Is it the news or the movie you taking your girl to? Know what I'm saying, cause I'm from Sam. Got a plan, if you examine what they telling us, then you will understand what they planting in the seeds of the next generation. Feeding our children miseducation. No one knows if there's UFOs or any life on Mars. What they doing when they up in the stars? Because I don't believe a word of what the president said. He's filling our heads with lies, got us hypnotized when he be speaking in cold words about crime and poverty, drugs, welfare, prisons, guns, and robbery. It really means us, there's no excuse for the slander, but we're good for the still good for the candidacy.
I don't believe Bob Marley got me cancer. 31 years ago, I would've been a panther. They killed Huey cause they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news, propaganda. I don't want no computer chips in my arm. I don't wanna die by a nuclear bomb. I said we don't rush the Pentagon. Pull out guns and grab the intercom. My first words would be, I believe man made God. Out of ignorance and fear, it's God made man. And why the hell would he put us here? I thought he supposed to be the all-loving, the same God who let Hitler put the Jews in the ovens. We don't fall for the regular shit. They try to feed us all this half-ass leadership. Different position, they turn politician and shut the hell up and follow tradition. Boy, your TV screen is telling lies to your vision. Every channel got some brainwashed cop shit to watch. Running up in niggas' cribs claiming that they earned shots. It's a plot. But Buster, can you tell me who's greedy are? Big corporations, the pigs or the media. Sign of the time, terrorism on the rise. Commercial airplanes falling out the skies like flies. Make me wonder what secrets went down with Ron Brown. Who burned the churches to the ground with no evidence found. It's not coincidence. It's been too many steady incidents. It could have been the Klan who put that bomb at the Olympics. But it probably was the FBI. Deep at the core, cause if they make us all panic, they can start martial law. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago I would've been a panther. They killed Huey cause they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news, propaganda. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago I would've been a panther. You killed Huey cause you knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news, motherfucking propaganda.
Simply because we understand the system better than most groups understand the system. And with this realization, we attempted to form a strong political base based in the community with the only strength that we have, and that's the strength of a potentially destructive force if we don't get freedom.
In world news today, officials decree that rapper Brad Jordan, alias Scarface, must be stopped. After being monitored by Secret Service agents for 2 years, evidence leads tobacco and firearms officials to believe that his literally dope lyrics promote drug usage and distribution, degrade women, influence gambling, promote and teach violence, and more importantly, it's influencing our minors and destroying our communities. Officials say he's the lord of underground rap, him and his music must be stopped.
We got this whole motherfucker on the mission. Now the whole entire world has gotta try to come up with a quick decision. They claim we threats to society, and now they're calling on the government to try to make somebody quiet for the bullshit they done to me. Gangsta Nip Spice warned that Tupac never gave a gun to me, so gangsta rap ain't done shit for that. I've even seen white folks from River Oaks go get to get. So why you trying to kick them dust up? America's always been known for blaming us niggas, but they fucked us, and we were always considered evil. Now they're trying to bust our only code of communicating with our people. Let's beat the game from a different angle. Matt Dillon pulled his pistol every time him when someone tangled. So why you criticize me for the shit that you see on your TV? That freak's worse than TG. Just bring your ass to where they got me, so you can feel the hand of the dead body.
Nigga, don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
Now they trying separation and sending black folks in white coats to infiltrate our congregation, tapping into our conversation, taking the message that they get, bring forth wrong premeditation. So David's got a silver man. While listening to Brad, David gets pissed and killed his dad. David Duke's got a shotgun. So why you get upset? Cause I got one. A chest kit, a task kit, a nigga got his ass kicked, shot in the face by a cop, close casket. An open and shut situation. Cop gets got, they wanna blame it on my occupation. If you don't dig me, then nigga, you can sue me. Cause the shit that I be saying ain't worse than a Western movie. Don't blame me, blame your man, got it. So you can feel the hand of the dead body.
Nigga, don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long. Nigga, don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
You better free your mind before I free my nine and stop fucking with these void of pop. I feel my hot rocks like bang, boom, boom, ping, ping. I'm the black, white boys got a magazine and don't know how to act. I attack and make you vomit. Down with Khaled, I'm through Muhammad. Dewey got a brother, I'm McNeil. I'm the illest, wanna kill this house nigga Don Cornelius. Can you feel this? You punk niggas make me sick. Sucking on the devil's dick, scared of revolution. Need to start douching. Houston is the place. I caught a case. The motherfuckers tried to put a scar on my face, but I bust two times to the gut. Through the Reverend Calvin butt. Got a pair of nuts. I started this gangster shit in 86. Now you're dissing me for publicity. Isn't he a hoe to the third degree? Who me? I'm a G that like to scrap a lot. Down with rap a lot. And I can't stop, won't stop. So fuck Bill and Hillary. Ice Cube, it ain't no killing me. Ice Cube, Scarface, dropping on me. Sell out ass niggas. Doing it like,
nigga don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long. Nigga don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
Well, all right, black power, black power, black power, brothers and sisters. You're listening to the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense nightly broadcast. Tonight's broadcast, brothers and sisters, promises to be not only informative, but definitely thought-provoking. We're coming to you live here in the belly of the beast, right here in the belly of the beast in America, KKK. And we want to send a shout-out to all of our beautiful brothers and sisters from all across the planet Earth who tune in to listen to our broadcast. Shouts out to you. Black Power salute. We want to have a very candid conversation tonight about the extreme or no in between, the hypocrisy of the so-called justice system. Now, this topic was brought to us by our national spokesman, Brother Malik Mama, who will be joining us very shortly. He's wrapping up a few things on the plantation, and we'll be coming on. And what we're going to do is we're going to play some clips, a mix of clips, as we wait for our dear brother Mama to come on, as he told me he needed a few moments to get ready to shake loose the plantation. We understand that. We have no problem with that. We don't want to forget to give a shout out to our brothers and sisters on the mother continent of Africa, all of the countries that are listening. As we know, it is indeed the late night hour where you're at, and we appreciate your support. Same goes for the brothers and sisters that are listening in the UK and Australia and all of those places that are listening on the late night. Shouts out to everybody that's tuning in from the Caribbean, from the West Indies, all of the Isles of the Pacific. We really appreciate your support. And, of course, to our brothers and sisters in Central America, South America, all across the planet Earth where people are tuning in, we give you a Black Power salute. And last and certainly not least, to our brothers and sisters here in the belly of the beast in America, KKK, we appreciate you. We thank you. We in it with you. We got to fight. We got to speak up. We got to challenge the wickedness that we are constantly being surrounded with. We have to forge self-determination. We need to be creating enterprises that provide for the needs of our people. We need to be supporting those enterprises that are Black-owned and Black-operated that are being self-determined. It's all-inclusive. And on the flip side, those organizations and those enterprises amongst our Black nation should be giving back and supporting those organizations and causes in our communities that need support. It is a collective work. Our responsibility is indeed our responsibility. Yes, we are dealing with a wicked system. Yes, we're dealing with constant injustice. But we actually have the capacity amongst our own selves to destroy this wicked system of injustice. If we were to only come together and unify and stand principled and organize and strategize and take accountability, take assignments, and be consistent with these assignments. But unfortunately, too many of us are short-sighted. Too many of us are narrow-minded. Too many of us are cowardly. Too many of us are cracker lovers. You won't do anything or believe in anything or bust a move unless you got the okay from the cracker. And that is a very, very big problem. When you rely on the people that enslaved your ancestors to be your only source of everything, then you are still in captivity. It's just they're able to let you walk about the plantation freely because they know you will cause no harm because you have been broken mentally, physically, and spiritually. But for those of us who are not subjected and do not bow down to these devils and crackers, who hold the line, who speak out about injustice, who are proud to say that we are the children of the motherland of Africa, who have spread it all across the planet, who are the indigenous of this land and every land that we have our feet upon, who are the rightful owners of everything that is on this planet Earth, as we are the original, the first. And we are well aware that we have an open enemy that is predominantly those European nations, enterprises, families, individuals, corporations, governments that orchestrated, participated, facilitated, and institutionalized the war on African people from the transatlantic slave trade up until Reconstruction, the terror that went on during Reconstruction of the land snatching and the lynchings, to Jim Crow, to this modern tyranny that we live under, post-civil rights, in which all of our independence was stripped from us during integration. And now here we are, inside out, twisted inside out, trying to figure out which way is up. getting shot at, getting lynched, getting drugged by individual white cracker vigilantes as well as the police. And it is sanctioned by the state. It is sanctioned by the courts. It is sanctioned by the elected officials who choose to not do a goddamn thing. It is sanctioned by the attorney generals, from the federal attorney general to every local state attorney general who does nothing when it comes to the injustice that our people are being inflicted upon by the police and vigilante crackers. It is only in extreme cases where we have had mass mobilizations. Is there any semblance of any type of so-called justice? But the majority of the cases, they don't get the national attention. They don't get the masses galvanized behind them. The majority of those cases are taking place on a daily basis. And who does anything about it? When you have a system, which you have the Klan in black robes sitting on the bench, the Klan in a three-piece suit and a high-priced dress that's the district attorneys that have no desire whatsoever to render justice. When you have a system that is solely focused on profit and continuing the vestiges of slavery. I'm trying to see what this message is saying from the brother. And then I do see we have a question, and I will be opening up your mic. Okay. Waiting to hear back from the brother. Answer from what he just sent. All right. But as I was saying, this system is driven by profit over the people. And you know it has gotten on his last damn leg. This is the you know, it's good news and bad news. You know these devils are on their last damn leg when they unleash the biological weapon on everybody. But the thing about it is, Europeans are washers, and there's so many white folks that speak out about that they not taking no goddamn jab. But the Negroes, the compliant little Negroes who do whatever the crackers tell them, are the main ones getting the shots. Because they get, why all of a sudden they're paying you tens of thousands of dollars to do something that they only paid you a couple of scraps to do? And you jumping on it at the price of what? The price of your life, the price of your soul. Let me go ahead and open up this mic. Black Power, we got A64. Is that you, Brother Chase? Black Power.
Peace and power. Black Power, this is Brother Equine. What's going on, fam? Black Power.
Brother Equine, Black Power King, what city are you calling from?
I'm calling from Columbia, South Carolina, see?
All right, King, what's your comment or question?
Man, I just wanted to add on because from what you was, you know, what you were saying, you know, it's very, very important. And it seems almost to a place where now, where I'm even seeing revolutionary white folks having much more in common, all right, just from an idea standpoint, with the revolutionary African, right? More so than your Uncle Tom or you understand? We're not talking about genetics. We're not talking about the fact that this is our brother and our sister. A lot of times, even when it talks about going against the system, this is basically the conservative approach. You understand? That's why a lot of, you know, I knew, matter of fact, a brother that owns the African shop here, he was a definite Trump supporter, because when you look at politics, the democracy or being a Democrat has been a thing that us as black folk had just been, we just been a part of, and we always love it. But that's just as much of a slave mentality as, you know, praising white Jesus. And all of these are all ideas that support this form of thinking that we would, like even in the Bible, although I'm not a Christian, I don't go by the Bible, but listening in the Bible, I'm 40 years old, but there was a dreaded time in the Bible. Everybody know when that was. Tells you don't take the mark of the beast. Don't take the chip. Don't take, and to say that I have a lot of Christian brothers and sisters that are just spooked into taking the jab. They're spooked into taking that shot, not knowing what's in that shot. I know people to give the shots to children, not knowing how this shot could adversely affect them or directly affect them. You understand? In the now. So I think, you know, what we're seeing is our ability, and I want to add this on as well, okay, because you are a sister, a queen, and every time that I hear you, sis, you always are speaking up for the mission, the organic mission and the organic come up of us as black folk. What I'm seeing now and what we're seeing is we're seeing the disease, but I'm looking at how our black women now have been targeted to now be the whores or the sex slaves, or you understand? And I think this is all still going with the psychological warfare, right? This is what I can't turn on the radio without hearing some black woman referring to herself as a piece of ass and trying to, you know, the big thing now is the BBL, to get a fake butt, right? And this is what we are.
Right.
This is like, again, what we're seeing are the symptoms of a much greater problem. And I think the greater problem is what you guys hit on pretty much every time I'm on the show, is building up that black mind, building up that black culture of one invigorating empowerment in yourself, because our people feel like we're so weak. We're waiting on Jesus. We're waiting on yet again another ploy promoted by the cracker. Right after he done been killing you for all these years, and as you explained, the statistics prove this cracker don't give a damn about you. He creates systems that ensures that he don't give a damn about you, and we still walking around, please, would you care about? No, we need to understand that this system don't give a damn about us, and we should have been revolutionary, not just the few of us on this phone, but the collective of us. And I think with the collective of us now creating that momentum, you understand, getting back to the place of solving problems, this would put us at a place where we're having these types of conversations in our churches, whether it be, you know, like I said, I'm not shooting at anybody in their religion, but I do know that the church has been basically the spot, the trap house, the so to speak. This is where we congregate. So this is the place we should be. The majority of our people should be having a conversation of health. I know out of the two decades I went to church, not one time did they talk about health. But so many people in that church, regardless of how hard they prayed to Jesus, regardless of how much they sang, they still died from health problems. So I think, you know, right, just us getting our mind back, understanding how we see and approach this relationship to science and how, you know, we relate it to ourselves as it relates to black power, as it relates to building our black self rather than continuously weakening our black selves and being okay with it. You know, oh, I got the jab. Oh, yeah, I'm good. Oh, I went out and voted. Let me get a sticker. I went out and did what the cracker told me to do. Oh, I'm voting for LGBT. Yeah. Give me
yeah,
high five.
Walking a time,
you
time. Whatever they say. Whatever they say, you sanction.
Right. And this is all white power. This is what we're talking. LGBT, you're talking about taking the jab. All this shit is white power. Something that, and I'm going to tell you this, is, and I'm about to finish this up. But it was some woman, and my wife kind of pointed me to the commercial. But it's an ad, and it was specifically talking about black folks. Talking about, oh, since I'm black or African Americans and such and such, I'm going to get the shot. Whoa. Wow. And we as Americans, Africans always like to try to look at Africans abroad, looking down on them like they dirty third world countries. You understand? But the Africans on the continent, they've been rejecting that damn shot. But we're happy as hell to go get the shot and got a ice cream. So I think this is a great discussion. and a great peering into, you know, how we kind of get the support and confidence that we need to kind of move through. Because a lot of our people are scared.
Right.
You know, they're afraid. And that cracker say, oh, here's this Omicron. It's like, oh, man, you know, I ain't prayed to Jesus hard enough because Jesus don't really exist.
And then he should use common sense. I mean, people lack basic common sense. Where did the Omicron come from? Common sense, if the Omicron didn't exist until they started putting out this lethal injection, then common sense, the Omicron has to be a mutation from the lethal injection. We should just use basic common sense. You know, who asked, how many people have truly asked where the COVID came from in the first damn place? Did people really just let this thing kind of float in the air that it came from a bat? Get the hell out of here. And if it came from a bat, did people not do the research and see that they bought the bats into the labs and extracted the blood and from them and did it and use it as lab tests to create it? I mean, the basic things that people should be doing, they're not doing. How, since when? And let's just think about this, brother, because we have been under this spell, under this foolishness, or however we want to call it, under this love of the cracker, this worship of the devil, however you want to call it, for a while now, for at least, for a couple of centuries. Let's just get rid of it. But it's been information out. We are right now in an information age where information comes fast and furious. I'm talking about you go on your timeline, information is scrolling minute by minute on social media. So, and then you've had people, you know, our broadcast, other people speaking out, you know, and saying, hey, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on here? But the people who, we're going to really have to kind of look at what's going on, and it kind of goes back with what you started off saying. People who get it and people who don't get it, I believe that at this time, like you said in the scripture, it's going to be a great, it says it's going to be a dreaded time, but it says it's going to be a great and dreaded time. I believe this is exactly what had to fucking happen. Because so those who worship the cracker, it's just not going to get, it's no getting them away from it. It's sad to say.
They worship the cracker
so much that they will let them inject them with poison. And the more and more people are going to start getting these sicknesses, like you said, people are having adverse reactions and direct reactions. I mean, as soon as they get the shot, they freaking break down and go into the hospital. And then they're going to take another shot. And then they really got in their mind to take another shot. And another shot. They're going to be taking shots like pills.
Right.
If their mindset was that to worship, it's a separate, the point I'm getting at, there's a separation going on between those who emphatically, no matter what we say, they are going to take it, whatever the devil says, they're going to go their way no matter how much information comes out. And those of us who see are going to be the ones remaining standing. Because if after all this information has come out, we've had all these great speakers and teachers from Marcus Garvey to Malcolm X to Dr. Khaled, and people have accepted and some have rejected. And you've been told, we've been told and made clear who this white man is and what their system's about. It's always been, and we've been told and made clear, and yet if we still choose to rock with them and to have them say, look, if you want this job, you got to take this shot. When does that ever happen? What sense does that make? What job is permanent? Not none.
Right.
But you're taking a permanent substance in your body that could affect your life permanently. And the last thing I want to comment about what you started out, you said about white folks that are revolutionary. It's always been that. It's always been that. That's how this country came about. But see, white privilege and and what they move out or against the government for is separate from what we against the government about most of the time. If they feel like their rights are being infringed upon, they're going to speak out about it, bit, you know, without no bones about it. You see how the comedians be doing the comedians say when the white folks get pulled over, they curse the cops out. What the fuck are you pulling me over for? Jeez, goddamn. Because they know they can talk like that and buck like that. Look how they did the Capitol. You let it be black people do that. It'll be all out anarchy. But it's going to have to get to that point where we're going to have the courage to do what has to be done. And you know what, brother? What did you say your name was? Equality? Let me get that.
Equanice. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
It has to, this we're seeing right now, even amongst your family, even amongst your so-called friends, even amongst the people that was in your community, they said they were so-called conscious. Aren't we seeing who's who right now? You were RBG last week, but all of a sudden now you got the shot. How RBG are you?
Well, and not only that, but it was, and I'm going to put it out to you like this. I'm going to call names, you know, because this is what they pride themselves in, but you got the brothers that are in the Amun-Ra squad whom, you know, regardless, and that's why I salute to the brother RZA Islam. That brother definitely does hold and stand his ground as it relates to presenting scientific documentation regarding inoculations, vaccinations, the history, pathological history, and its association with black boys. And autism, and ADD, ADHD, all these, you know, mental insufficiencies, you know, are being attributed to or have been attributed to the shot. So, like I said, it's a bad thing or a bad place that when we have, like, one of the quote-unquote top conscious groups in the black community, black conscious, Amun-Ra squad, you understand? They are ones that are promoting the shot, and it kind of gets kind of confusing when you have folks that are in the conscious community, because there is no standard, right? Because we don't really have a conscious community. There's no order. There's no.
That's the thing. Who says they are top conscious? I mean, you know what? There's a distinction, too, between conscious and revolutionary. Let's be clear about that.
Right, that's true.
You know, there's a great distinction between that, because conscious, what the fuck is that? We were supposed to be conscious. In the first place, our people, we've been messed up so bad that we've been hid from information, and as soon as we become quote-unquote conscious, which is push us to where we're supposed to be. To become conscious is supposed to, it's sort of like normalizing or balancing you out.
Right.
That's not enough.
Right.
You know, because once you become truly conscious, then you're going to be like, what the fuck? Who hid all this from me? What's been going on? Then the next evolution of your spirit would to become a revolutionary. You want to do? Oh no! Let me stop. The next thing people, you know, an evolved spirit would go from conscious to being an activist. You want to do something about what's going on and about the fact that you didn't know. You want to let other people know. You want to wake up other people. That's another level. The activist. And then to evolve even further, an activist is conscious and would become a revolutionary. When you tried all the channels and you realize ain't nothing right about this system, it's got to go. We have to have our own. It's no putting incense on a pile of shit. You know what I'm saying? Is no spread. And so that's what we got. We have elements, and even even in the party, you know, we have to acknowledge that many of these groups have been infiltrated by the government, and some groups have been created by the government. Not
that,
saying this group
not,
is.
Now that's true. Now that is true.
Right. So we got to just wait, you know, because we've had groups who subtly what their main modus operandi are as to get us to not be a part of Africa, not be black.
And just to add on, what you're seeing is that is another ploy that I'm hearing at a time with Muhammad. You understand? This is post the days of the Honorable Khaled Muhammad. You understand? I also recall that voice being banged into my head, you understand, as it relates to invigorating that broken African spirit, right? And at that time, you ain't hear none of these people talking about we from America and all this other stuff, and we not from Africa, and there wasn't no, you know what I'm saying? So when we're talking about open up speaking about the Ma'afa, we're having more scholars that are putting their scholarship on the line, you understand? And now you got these naysayers, these idiots, again, just similar to the ploy that they're trying to promote with the jab. They're just doing all this shit because they know that African is anything but African right now. All the words that you describe, whether it be conscious, revolutionary, that's just showing that you are in your own African truth, right? So that means you recognize that we are Africans right now and that we've been at a war with this fucking cracker for I don't know how long. You understand? So now you're taking the approach. That don't mean you got to go out there and kill no crackers, but that means that you are now going to move in a revolutionary mentality. You understand? You're going to move in a conscious mentality to now go away from the ploys, from the strategies, from all the shit that this cracker want to promote our little boys to wear dresses, all this shit. You understand? Rather than our people just accepting anything. And like I said, I'm seeing this newer shit is the whole slut pride movement. Yep. They're selling us yet again. So, you know,
That goes back to Willie Lynch. That goes back to the slavery.
Right.
You know, of the black woman being a tool of breeding. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
A tool of breeding. You know, and these things are being, you know, they had a couple of centuries to come up with this class system called house nigger, yard nigger, field nigger. The house niggers also were the first ones to be homosexuals because this cracker was a pervert. And this cracker not only was a pervert, he was a rapist. He wasn't just raping women, he was raping the men.
Mm-hmm,
he wasn't just raping the little boys, he was raping the little girls. And so this behavior was repeated. And we start acting like the devil our damn self. You got uncle, brother messing with the little girls and messing with the little boys. You know what I'm saying? And this perversion, all the things that are of a derelict of people selling their body, you know, for survival, are feeling subjugated, that, you know, that there's nothing more to them than their bodies. All of these are vestiges of slavery. And the society, you know, I mean, let's just get down to it. Even we talk about slavery, we are not talking about some abstract thing. We talk about we talk about people, families, who we do the research. We can really get down to who it is that did this. You know what I'm saying? If we really want to, what we really need to be doing at this point, we need to be identifying who are these families that enslaved us. We can start with our damn slave name. Where were they from? What businesses did they start? What wealth do they hold? You know, these are some of the things that we have to evolve and critically be doing. And one more thing I want to say, we had another, I don't know what happened to that call. I was about to bring him in. They dropped off. But I'm going to play this clip. But another thing you mentioned and it was brought up about SNAP. I can't believe I lost my thought when you were talking about. I want to talk about the sisters. You know, this society, and not just the white society, but the so-called conscious movement is so patriotic. It is so misogynistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do that to our own selves as well. You know, we're even in the movement. You'll have sisters who will cut those other sisters just to try to impress brothers. It happens so often. You know,
yeah.
We have
it happens
in families. It happens in families,
yeah,
where you have mothers that are so envious of the daughters and so hateful,
right,
towards the daughters. You know, these are all still vestiges of slavery.
Yeah, patriarchy.
That's right. You know, so it's a lot to unveil, but we thank you, brother, for coming on. You know,
thank you, and for Barnes,
we want to invite you to continue to come. You know, I would personally, you know, love for you to reach out and work with us within the party. I like your mind of how you presented yourself. So, you know, we have our website, nbpp.org, nbpp.org, if you reach out and get involved, even if you don't officially join, but to be a part of the Black Power movement. But we would love to have folks of like mind on board. We were out there in South Carolina last year. It was a very sad situation. We were in Columbia. Our national field marshal's daughter came up missing.
Oh, right. That's what,
We were out there for a couple of months, and then unfortunately she was found killed. And her little young teenage so-called friend killed her. Her best friend's boyfriend. You know,
right,
and that's a whole other kind of word. And also what I saw out there, you know, as we were looking for her, I saw all these hotels with all these young girls getting prostituted. You know what I'm saying?
Man.
You know, that broke my heart. You know what I'm saying? And you got these so-called gangs. You know, they're using the woman. It's not the dope game. They back doing the pimp game, and they're pimping little girls. You know what I'm saying?
They don't give a damn. And that's where it is. We've turned so callous, even on our own self, because even while we are speaking about, you know, the crack of what the police, you know, this has always come up, like where you have the naysayers talking to their thought, the where y'all can't say nothing about the police killing you when y'all kill each other. And a lot of times for me, I know there's some stuff we run away from, but deep in there, there's a reality. Because my grandma used to tell me, if I don't whoop your butt before you leave this house, the police will whoop your butt. Meaning, if you don't have discipline and if you don't have the will to correct yourself before you leave out of here, you're only going to be at a vulnerable place where now your oppressor is only going to exploit that shit. You understand? And I think it's very important for us, like what you're saying, looking at the moral code of conduct. It's just some shit you ain't supposed to be doing. A lot of these young cats now, they disrespecting old people. I see some gangs beating up an old man. Like, nah, we got to have our OG gang. We got to have our gangs that's going to come and set them motherfuckers in line as well and say, well, hey, if y'all are going to be out here doing something, you know, at least let be serve as protection for your community. Not going out here trying to rob and rape people. You feel me? And I think, right. And it's becoming just as the European, but you're just a wolf in sheep clothing because you kind of blend in. You look like a brother. You look like a sister. So I'm not pointing and beating our brothers and sisters down because we just got, they like bad children, not, you know, ill men.
Wrong is wrong.
It's got to
be addressed.
Right, absolutely. That's all I'm saying. Black power.
Well, that's something, you know, black power, and we thank you for calling in. And,
snap.
I had a college clip queued up. You know, our brother just messaged the plantation. I've been waiting for him to come on. What I'm gonna wind up doing is going ahead and playing a clip from Dr. Khaled. I'm gonna do a mix with Dr. Khaled, Amos Wilson, and Huey P. So the show got to go on. The brother's not going to be able to make it. He's still kind of at the plantation. For those of you who are listening, I also want to add to the point that of what the brother just mentioned, we must. There's no getting around it, you know, because the cracker, we know our open enemy is doing stuff to us. We're not going to scapegoat the bullshit that we do and have going on in our community, you know. It's all of the above. We are, you know, and just like we can't just, you know, think small minded. You know, I want to also talk about, you know, the people talking about, oh, we only came from here in America. We wasn't in chattel slavery from Africa. Come on, man. Even if the,
right.
And all of these things happen. It's not just one or the other. We were and are the indigenous of this land. That's common sense. When you look at the pictures of the original indigenous African, indigenous people on every part of the planet, even the Eskimo, it looks like the original Eskimo is African. We are ancient. The African people are the original people of the planet. And if it was from land separation, you know, that is a fact that happened. And it is a fact that our people been seafaring. We been had vessels to cross the seas. This was nothing new to us as African people. We've been here for millions, hundreds of thousands of years. We've already been on the planet. Common fucking sense with me, that we would move around. You know what I'm saying? If we were able, and we did, our ancestors were able to look up into the stars and chart the constellations. Our ancestors were able to look at the rivers and how the rivers moved and know when to do this with the seasons and do agriculture. Our ancestors had maps before the crackers were even on the planet. If you go to the Grand Canyon, there are temples just like in Kemet that are as old as Kemet. Our people moved around. We are so dumbed down by this educational system. So, of course, we are the indigenous. That doesn't stop the fact that it was a warfare when these crackers came here with disease and killed off as many of the indigenous people and was battling with the indigenous people. That doesn't stop the fact that they was going around snatching and having the system of slavery didn't just start in America. They was doing that in Africa. The Arabs and some Africans. Let's tell the damn truth. But the majority of the people that was doing it was our enemy. We know this for a fact because you can see it right now. You know how we can prove that it was black people that were participating in the slave trade? It's just like what I said earlier. We got black people that are pimping our young sisters and brothers right now. But that's not giving the crackers that's behind this no excuse, because one thing we also found out in Colombia, a lot of these are, you know, that I-20 hub, you know, that hub goes up into Atlanta. It goes all across into Florida. That's like a hub. Just like down here in Texas and in the Houston area, they would call it I-10, the drug hub. You know, drugs, and now, you know, this human trafficking thing. But these main artery highways that go from Florida to California, it makes it, you know, opportunistic type of individuals, you know, sick-minded individuals use this. They know that our communities are in despair. They know that there's poverty going on. They know that there's drug addiction going on. And as mentioned before, instead of the mind state that we should have for the masses of being involved in fixing the problems in our community, we're so individualistic. We have not been collectively coming together as we should on how to address these issues or even addressing that is going on. Do you know how many families are dealing with, molestation? And we wonder why there's so much homosexual going on. Do we realize how many families are affected by the prison incarceration rate, with the father not being in the home and the children being prey to not only external but internal predators? Do we realize how much depression is going on in our communities? How much bipolarism is not being addressed properly? You know, we have bipolar people who have PhDs and BAs who go and teach our children with these nasty dispositions that turn them off from the schools, that teach our children with a totally Eurocentric mind state, that teach, you know, in so many words, might as well tell them that they're not shit when they never mention them or put them in the framework of education. And how long are we going to blame the cracker when it is up to us? It really should be up to us to teach our children. Do we not realize, can we just think back up until some of our grandparents' ages and just look at how they were able to succeed and have families when they were solely and focused under segregation to teach their own? Can we not do a critical analysis and see what has been the result of our communities post-integration? All of these things are on the table. Because the condition that we're in, that our people are in, that this world is in right now, we don't have no choice but to tell the truth and see it the way it is. America and Europe, America in particular, is falling before our eyes. Nothing done wicked, nothing done unstably, nothing done corruptly lasts. I don't give a damn what it is. It could be a Ponzi scheme. It could be just some kind of hustle. You make me get money at that time, but it's not going to last. You may be able to get money at that time, but it's not going to last. It's going to come back on you. This is the same that's happened with America. America was founded off of corruption. I'm talking about this government really has only been around like four generations. Maybe five. Let me count. We had this land existed, had people on it, had infrastructure on it, had towns and roads and rivers named long before the European even came here. If you travel, you will see that. You will be able to tell which places were named after the European invasion and which were indigenous. Because you'll see indigenous words like Oklahoma or Tejas. This is not words that, you know, you can tell the European names are going to be like Vicksburg, Iberville, you know what I'm saying? They're going to have Berg and Ville and town in them. Charlestown, Charleston, like Charlestown. They're going to have town, Berg, or Ville on it. Those are not indigenous or native, but every other place that you'll see on the highway, Chattanooga, that's not a European word. Atchafalaya River. These are indigenous names. Nacogdoches, Natchitoches, Memphis. Those are not European words. See, so much information has been taken from us. And it's up to those who have gathered knowledge to bring this information back. This is one of the reasons why we do this broadcast, how we've been able to expand it to nightly. When we don't have a guest or topics, we make sure that we use this airtime to present speakers or scholars or information to help expand the knowledge base. So with that being said, I do want to play a mix. We want to thank the young brother that called in just a few minutes ago. To the other callers that are on, press 1 right now. It's your time to press 1 to make a comment. That was another young gentleman that was on hold. Unfortunately, we didn't get you on. I did see you in the queue. Feel free to chime back on and press 1. This is the time right now before I play this clip. We have a lot of callers on. This is your time now because once I play this clip, that's it. I want to go on with my switchboard here. I'm going to go ahead and play this mix, a clip that's going to be a bit of a mix. And this clip is going to go ahead and take us out as once again, this clip is going to have to take us out. So this is the time, brothers and sisters, to press one if you want to make a comment. Otherwise, I'm going to go ahead and play a mix right here. Oh, man, I'm having a little bit of an issue with this switchboard. Yeah, that was a breath of fresh air to have the young brother come on. And that had such a insight and passion. And we look for that. You know, we love to hear from the people. This is the people's radio. This is the people's radio. So, without further ado, I apologize, everybody. Without further ado, I'm going to play this mix, this Black Power mix, from Dr. Khaled. As a matter of fact, there is so much, it's so much that we just dropped. But I'm going to go ahead and do this clip on police brutality. Let's do that. Black Power.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. We turned up just a little bit. We forever thank Almighty God for coming, as it was written and prophesied that he would come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we can find no other people fitting the description of the lost brother, the lost sister, or the lost sheep, except we, the 50 million or more, mentally and spiritually dead, black men and black women here in the hells of North America. And so we thank him for coming and raising up his messenger and his Messiah to the black man and black woman again here in the hells of North America. I speak of none other than the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I thank the two of them for the man who is responsible for what I am and what I am becoming, and the man who is largely responsible for my spiritual rites of passage, and who is my mentor and teacher. I speak of none other than my spiritual father, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In their names, I greet you here in Queens at the African Poetry Theater, where culture is the byword, and culture is used as a weapon. And to Brother John Watusi and to others who are responsible for the programming and the enlightenment and the supreme wisdom that comes out of this house, I am deeply honored, as I have stated, to have this opportunity to speak with you on this rainy night on the subject that has been given to me, which I think is a very good subject. And that subject that was given to me is police brutality. Who polices the police? It's a very serious subject, and so naturally my response has to be a very serious response. There are those who speak of police review boards, and there are many police review boards throughout North America. There are many police review boards that allegedly are set up to monitor the activity of the policing agencies. And certainly some good has come out of police review boards, but I do not believe that police review boards can deal with the high level of police brutality in the black community. Of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. If we know what happened yesterday, then we can intelligently discuss police brutality today, because today is built on yesterday, and tomorrow indeed is built on today. The very coming into being and existence of the white man. Not too many people want to say the white man anymore. Not too many people even say the words white man together. And very few from a rostrum or a podium or a TV talk show or anywhere who will straight up call the white man the devil in 1997. So let's get that straight before I even get started. The white man is not a devil, but the devil. He is wicked by nature. He's the number one murderer, the number one robber, the number one raper, the number one lyncher, the number one enslaver, the number one colonizer. He is the chief shedder of blood on the face of the planet Earth, and no one has come close even to equaling the shedding of blood of the white man. As I started to say, his very existence is owed to the shedding of blood of the black man and black woman. There would be no white race if it were not for the genetic engineering, the grafting, the birth control, and the special process by which the white man came into existence, which required, again, the very shedding of blood of the black man and black woman. And so the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught us that the circumstances surrounding the origin of a thing into the world determines the very nature of that thing. It codes that thing. It marks that thing. And that thing cannot help but do according to its coded nature. And if it is your bloodshed, and it is, that brought the white man into existence, then it must be your and my bloodshed that will keep him in power and in control. And so white supremacy and global white domination and rabid racism that runs rampant throughout the face of the planet Earth is based on the murder of the black man and black woman, but black man first. The black man is public enemy number one. Public enemy number one. Oh, he does not spare the black woman. For the black woman is spotted and speckled with all of the shades of color of the color spectrum. Number one, she is all of the colors because she is the original woman. And out of her comes the black, the brown, the red, the yellow, and yes, out of her comes the white. But she is spotted and speckled today in another sense because of the rape of our great-great-grandmothers and our great-great-great-grandmothers. I'm not going to get into that. Hell, all of them were great. Straight on down the line, the raping of the black woman. So she has not been spared. But again, I say, public enemy number one is the black man. Why is the black man public enemy number one of the white man? The black man is public enemy number one when we study police brutality and global white supremacy. He is number one because, as our great psychiatrists and psychologists, such as Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, such as Dr. Richard King, such as Dr. Naeem Akbar, such as Dr. Cedric X. Clark, and others have pointed out to us, Dr. Patricia Nonar Kosawa Sekmet, and others of our psychologists and psychiatrists, Dr. Merira Bridges, and others, as they have pointed out to us, the black man is public enemy number one because the world is a white male-dominated world. It is a white male-dominated world. And being a white male-dominated world, then he fears the number one threat to his global rule and his reign of white supremacy. And his number one threat is the black man. And so he fears that the black man will one day wake up. And if the black man, and when the black man one day wakes up, then there is the end to the white man's white supremacy. I'd like to, before I get into the body of my lecture, read a poem for you. I normally don't read poems, but this one is just so good. I got to read this one. You want to hear a poem at the African Poetry Theater? here where culture is a weapon. All right? The poem is called, it's by Brother Taim, it's by, the poem is by Taimbe Jess. And the poem is, when niggas love revolution like they love the bulls. When niggas love revolution like they love the bulls, youth will wear red, black, and green patches over the emblems on their starter jackets. When niggas love revolution like they love the bulls, brothers will gather regularly at barbershops and corner stops to discuss George Jackson and to discuss the handbook of revolutionary warfare and people's war before they go home to take care of their children each night. When niggas love revolution like they love the bulls, playground basketball courts will become paramilitary training grounds where we learn to shoot guns at the enemy and not baskets for bets. When niggas love revolution like they love the bulls, we will spend hours and hours watching our children grow into soldiers and not basketball players. When niggas love revolution like they love the bulls, we will know CIA stats, FBI stats, infant mortality stats, police brutality stats, political prisoners and prisoners of war, and literacy training techniques like we know Paxson's shoe size or Shaq's shoe size or the way we know Rodman or Pippen's rebounds or Grant's salary and all the intimate details of Michael's last gambling spree. When niggas love revolution like they love the bulls, you will be able to ask any youth on the street, who is Sundiata Okoli? Who is Assata Shakur? Who is Sekou Odinga? Who is Rochelle McGee and Jonathan Jackson? You will be able to ask, who is Matula Shakur? Who is Queen Mother Moore? And they will be able to tell you without skipping a beat. When niggas love revolution like they love the bulls, you will go on to ask them about Michael Jordan, and they will say, who? When niggas love revolution like they love the bulls, masses of us will go down to tear up Carolina coroner and his office to find out what really happened to James Jordan instead of waiting on the word of newspapers and sheriff's offices. When niggas love revolution like they love the bulls, we will show up in Washington, D.C. with the Million Man March with our God and with our guns. When niggas love revolution like they love the bulls, they will start to seriously wonder why one Negro putting a brown ball through a white net makes more money in one season than they will make in an entire lifetime, and do something about it. When niggas love revolution like they love the bulls, you will see Phil Jackson running up and down an empty court minutes before game time screaming, where are my niggas? Where are my niggas? Where are my niggas? As the niggas leave the stadium to go build liberation schools in their community. When niggas love revolution like they love the bulls, all niggas will refuse to shoot ball with the president with or without their dashikis on. When niggas love revolution like they love the bulls, will become associated with the sound that CIA agents, snitches, rats, and agent provocateurs who join our organizations and work against the legitimate aspirations of our people who yearn to breathe free, drug dealers and others will make when they are thrown gracefully face first into open manholes. When niggas love revolution like they love the bulls, Nike will no longer be able to sell $160 basketball shoes in the black community because we would rather spend the money on liberation and revolution. Thank you. When niggas love revolution like they love the bulls, they would love it. They will love it more than chitlins, more than all my children, more than Jerry curls, more than permanence, more than Cadillacs and Mercedes-Benz and Rolls-Royces and BMWs, cause when niggas love revolution like they love the Bulls, when niggas love their family like they love the Bulls, when niggas love their children like they love the Bulls, when niggas love to be free like they love the Bulls, when niggas love struggle like they love the Bulls, when niggas love dignity like they love the Bulls, when niggas love niggas like they love the Bulls, we would become black people and all the bullshit will hit the fan. Understanding the very origin and the nature and the coding of the white man, and understanding that his very existence and world control and domination and the maintaining of white supremacy is based on the murder of the black man and woman, then it is no wonder that police brutality is to the level that it is in black communities all over America. The cold-blooded murder of Brother Aswan there in Brooklyn just a few weeks, months ago, shot 20 times, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26 times. Brother Jerry Lee Amy in Los Angeles shot 39 times, over 6 feet tall, shot even on his shoulders, which meant, did the cracker get on a stepladder and shoot him on his shoulders? Or did they shoot him and shoot him and shoot him down to the ground and keep shooting him even after he was on the ground? You don't have to shoot a damn elephant 39 times to kill an elephant. And Jerry Lee Amy, as always, as all of us are, was the wrong man. Cracker was looking for a robbery suspect. Jerry Lee Amy is playing with his daughter in the front yard. And as they are running across the front yard, the cracker assumes that he is a so-called fugitive of just us. And so they shoot him down on his lawn in front of his baby girl. Brother Philip Pinnell would still be alive in New Jersey. Brother Lewis there in St. Petersburg, Florida, would still be alive as the crackers rolled up on him and claim that his car lunged forward, that one was on the side, and the other one, what kind of fool this is, I don't know. The other cop was supposedly in front of the car, looking through the front of the windshield. Common sense would tell a damn fool, you don't have to be a policeman, that you don't stand in front of the vehicle. But they claim the vehicle lunged forward. They shot him. The policeman was never hit by the vehicle. The vehicle never crashed anywhere into the pole or anywhere on the side. Brother Lewis would still be alive if we understood this dynamic better than we understand it. Our brother in Johnny Gamage in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who was there in the suburbs of Pittsburgh, and the crackers said that he stepped on his brakes and his brake lights came on too many times. His brake lights were blinking too many times, and so they snatched him from the vehicle, and all of them jumped on top of him and beat him and choked him and choked him until they choked in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Brother Johnny Gamage to death. Sister Eula May Love and the many that are from the New York area, from the New Jersey area, from Chicago, from Los Angeles, from the South, and throughout. All of them, brothers and sisters, victims of police brutality, and we don't even have the time to name all of us killed at the hands of brute beast police. It was former Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall who spoke at Howard Jew University, sometimes called Howard University. And as he spoke there, he said that the Ku Klux Klan, that the white paramilitary right-wing organizations, the Nazis and others, that the Klan no longer just wears white hoods and white sheets, but now the Klan wears blue uniforms, carries a badge or a shield, and a legal, quote-unquote, weapon, that the Klan now wears black robes and sits on the judge's bench to rule from the courtroom. And so Thurgood Marshall, having been a Supreme Court justice, too afraid to make bold stands himself, but in a sense like the spook who sat by the door, on his way out, he could begin to give up a little bit of the truth. And right here in New York, we have Judge Bruce Wright. And as we read his book, Black Robes, White Justice, in Black Robes, White Justice, Judge Bruce Wright gives us the inside track on the criminal justice system of the white man. And never call it a criminal justice system unless you put the adjective in front of it, that it is a criminal justice system. In fact, it is the criminal justice system. It is no wonder that there is police brutality, because the white man is a criminal. He's the number one criminal on the face of the planet Earth. Criminals established the criminal justice system of white America. Every law in the penal code system of the state of New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, California, Georgia, no matter where, and the penal code for the federal government of the United States of America, every law in the penal code book, every law was broken by the white man in order to establish that state, to establish this state, and to establish what he calls the United States of America. Every law. Some of you saw us on Harold Holt. That's what he is. It's a little Ebonics. I can't call him Harald Hoare. Ebonically speaking, he's Harald Ho. You saw us with Dr. Alvin Poussaint. How many saw it? Poor Dr. Alvin Poussaint got up and walked off the stage. Didn't want to be on the stage with me. He said, I can't sit here with Khalid Muhammad. He said, Dr. Khalid Muhammad has said some of the worst things and taken some of the most racist and anti-Semitic stances that I have ever heard of before. He went on to say even Minister Farrakhan had to get rid of Khalid Muhammad. In other words, he was saying, damn, if Farrakhan had to get rid of him, you know he must be bad. All praises due to Allah. So Dr. Alvin Poussaint of Harvard University, psychiatrist, eminent scholar among us, got up from the podium on national television. Some saw it internationally. We knew a month or two before the program, everybody that was going to be on the program. He knew I was going to be on. I knew he was going to be on. They had the other Negro, what's his name, the prosecutor in the O.J. case. Christopher Darden. He was on there. Christopher Darden was there. I brought some Kleenex for him. I didn't get a chance to pass them to him on the program. You remember old Chris Darden upholding the criminal justice system of white America and supporting white supremacy and cold-blooded police brutality. You remember him that after they lost the case, he stood with Marsha Clark and cried like a baby, just broke down and boo-hooed. Marsha Clark took it like a man. But he broke down and cried like a baby. Why was Christopher Darden crying? He was crying because it was a flashback to the plantation. Every plantation had an old nigga that was a fast nigga. And this nigga, when they were getting ready to whip another nigga, that's not my word, that's their word for us. And if everybody stands up in front of you and dresses it up and tips toes through the tulips and beats around the bush and dilly-dallies, you'll go right back to sleep, because some of you want to go back to sleep. Oh, he's using the N-word. Damn, N-word. Why do you use the N-word? Because that's what the cracker calls us every day and night. T Texaco is not alone. It's Texaco, Shell, Chevron, Texaco, Amoco, all of the crackers. It wasn't just Avis. Avis Rent-A-Car said they didn't want to rent cars to niggas. Say whatever you do, but just if you can get around it, don't rent the darn car to a nigga. That's what Avis said. How many of them saw it in the news? Avis said, look, the niggas put their cigarettes out on the seats. Niggas leave chewing gum stuck on the steering wheel. Niggas have a flat, leave a donut on the damn car. They say the niggas just tap all the rental cars. Say, you know, we need their money, but we lose so much. Can you try not to rent to them? Tell them something's wrong with their driver's license, their credit card, anything. Bally, you know, Bally with the shoes and stuff. I don't know what the thing was with them. They were talking about. But to all of the crackers, we're niggas, some to our face, others behind closed doors. That's Tiger Woods. He's called the winner of the Masters, which is supposed to make him a baby, a master. But to the cracker, he's just another fried chicken, collard green-eating nigger. That's all. You might be able to swing a golf stick between your legs and choose the right iron and knock a little white scrawny ball into a hole in black Mother Earth on green grass, which is a game representing global control and white supremacy. That's why they play on the green. And that's why it's a little white ball representing the testicles of the white man. And you must choose the right size iron. They make a big deal over the size of the iron. To knock this little scrawny white ball into a hole in black Mother Earth. But it's a game for control of the turf, of the green, of the land, of the earth. Here comes a baby, 21 years old? 21 years old. And beats all of them potbelly over the hill old peckerwoods who've been playing golf all their life, some of them. So the cracker just got mad. We call him a fried chicken-eating, collard green-eating little boy. Say the little boy is doing everything right. Those crackers were embarrassed. They just let black people into the Masters in the 90s and only have about two. And then he comes in and just takes over and beats them all. But to them, to us, we may be proud that he's a master in the golfing world. But to them, just a fried chicken, collard green-eating nigger. Alan Keyes ran for president, wanted to be a Republican. Ain't no difference in the Republican or the Democrat. The political system of the white man will never get us out of this condition. You can run out there and register to vote as much as you want to and brag about how many people you registered to vote. For what? So you registered so many and so many to vote. Will it change the condition of black people? We've been voting ever since the white man allowed us to vote, and we're still in the same condition, if not in a worse condition. And every time you think you voted in a good initiative or a new initiative that is supposed to be for and in our best interest, the white man changes the rules of the game and changes in the twinkling of an eye and turns back the hands of the clock. You thought affirmative action, many thought it was here to stay. You thought food stamps were here to stay. Some of you were big niggas in the community. You had a big roll of food stamps. You be flipping and flashing your food stamps on the rest of the slaves. You had more food stamps than any slave in the community. Peckerwood talking about welfare reform. Democratic president signed it. The Republican constituency behind it. Both Democrat and Republican. But this Negro, Alan Keyes, wanted to be a Republican candidate for president. And they had a debate down there in Atlanta, Georgia. He went down to the debate. Clinton is there, Slick Willie. That's what they call him, Slick Willie, and he is slick. screwed everything that wasn't screwed down when he was in Arkansas. Had the state troopers sneaking women in, bringing them through the window, through the back door of the state house. Poor Hillary somewhere with the dog and the bird and that ugly little daughter they got. Then he says he used to smoke weed, but he didn't inhale. You know, why not just leave the lie alone? The old folks say if you tell one lie, you're going to have to tell another one. He smoked weed, but he didn't inhale. Huh? This is crazy as it can be. Would you buy a used car from a guy named Slick Willie? He was there. Buchanan was there. The multi-billion dollar peckerwood with the big ears. Pinocchio's nose grew from lying so much. You got $1 billion, you're doing some lying and serious stealing. And you're white. So his nose is not growing, this cracker's ears are growing. He was at the debate. All these big crackers, Alan Keyes, the Negro, saying he wanted the good old days to come back. Now, I don't know what this nigga was thinking about. But somehow he worked himself up for that. Showed up in Atlanta as the Republican candidate, a Republican candidate to debate. Showed up at the door. They say, huh? He said, I'm Alan Keyes. I'm here for the debate. They say, for what? I'm a candidate for president. I'm here for the debate. They say, nigga, you here for what? What do you have to say, nigga? He said, but I was a candidate for president. I was a Republican. They said, nigga, you better get on away from here. He said, but I have a right to come in here. They said, call the police. They called the police on this nigga, put him in handcuffs, threw the Republican guy, Negro, running for the Republican slot with the other Republican, in a police squad car and dropped his behind off in one of the worst sections of Atlanta, Georgia, I guess hoping he would get mugged or beat upside the damn head. To other Negroes, he was a candidate for the high office of the presidency of the United States of America. But to the crackers at the debate, he was just another nigga. Listen, nigga, you ain't got no business in here. And they didn't even let the nigga come in to use the toilet. Sent his behind away. You had other Negroes say that if they went Republican, they would have the keys to the White House. When it was over, niggas didn't even have the keys to the outhouse. But it makes no difference whether it's Republican or Democrat. And I'm going to say this whether you like it or not, but somebody has to say it. It makes no difference whether it's an independent political party. Democrat, Republican, independent political party, as long as you're playing by the rules of the white man, you still are not going to win. Separation is the best and only solution into a land or territory of your own. You say, well, I'm a black nationalist. How in the hell are you going to be a black nationalist and you ain't thinking about no separation? You can't have a nation unless you separate from your enemy and your oppressor. But nobody wants to talk separation now. You ask them a question about separation, and they start tiptoeing and scratching it. Well, you know, that's a last resort, you know. After, well, you see, if we can't get along together, well, hell, how much more time do you need to know that we can't get along together? The most honorable Elijah Muhammad said the white man is absolutely disagreeable to get along with in peace. And that no one has been able to get along with him anywhere on the face of the planet Earth. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't say, if we can't work things out with the white man, if we can't get justice from the white man, he said, since we can't get justice from the white man. Since is a foregone conclusion. Since means it's already decided. The matter is decided. It's already determined that we can't get along with this cracker. But many want to tiptoe. You don't want a nation of your own. That's not everybody here. When I say you, I mean us in general. Separation is the only solution. The white man broke every law in the state and federal penal code system in order to establish every state in the United States and to establish the United States itself. His Army, his Navy, his Air Force, his Marine Corps, his Coast Guard, these are national policing agencies. He has national policing agencies, FBI. He has international and global policing agencies, Army, Navy, Air Force, alliances, NORAD and NATO and all of this to control the globe like a big white octopus. He has his tentacles stretched out across the globe as a national and international policeman, then state police, then county police, then city police, huh? And even the boroughs have special police. Then you go to the damn building and the building got some special police. Here's a cracker watching you in the toilet in some of the buildings. He's standing around wondering and checking. I don't know what he's doing. That's another subject for another time. Police everywhere. What's the purpose? To maintain white supremacy. To maintain global white supremacy. To protect what has been stolen from the rest of the world. The police are not our friend. Now, there are black police organizations that are coming up, and some of them are conscious. Some black policemen bucked the whole black police, the whole white police establishment. Conscious black policemen who are tired and sick and tired of being tired, who have consciousness, are beginning to build black policing organizations right in major precincts and some minor precincts all over the country, and it's worrying the white man to death. Conscious black policemen, some of them are actually recruiting other policemen, pulling them to the side, teaching them, giving them tapes, giving them liberation literature, taking them to meetings and rallies and conferences so that that gun that they have on their hip and that shield that they have can be used for us in times of escalated war. Some black policemen are actually preparing for war as we stand here and talk here tonight. The marshals, the U.S. marshals, black marshals, talking of filing a class action suit against the United States Marshals Department. Members, black members of the so-called Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI agents, have filed class action suits against the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Because black policemen are now right in there with them, checking them out every day. Why does the devil keep us apart from his social equality? Let me send a shout out to all the gods in the earth in the house. Peace. Why does the devil keep us apart from his social equality? That's why you got the CIA. The FBI, black CIA, black FBI, black policemen, black marshals, black sheriffs, some of them now standing up. You got 5%ers, 5% sheriffs. Everything has a 5%, a 10%, a 85%. You got a 5% among the policemen coming up, conscious, black as they can be, all across the country. And now that they have been in there where the white man is, they have found out how filthy he is, how wicked he is, how evil he is, and all his affairs. And in finding out how filthy, how wicked, and how evil he is in all his affairs, now the white man wants to run them from among them. And so he's now bringing certain pressure to bear against them and forcing them to take him to court. And I say, like Lorraine Hansberry said, who gave us a raisin in the sun and raised the question, what happens to a dream deferred? And ultimately she says, or does it just explode, as she gives us the other options. Lorraine Hansberry, who was nobody's revolutionary, Lorraine Hansberry talked about fighting this cracker by any means necessary. She talked about those who want to use the march to use the march. Those who want to use the ballot to use the ballot. She said those who want to challenge him in court, take him to court, as these black policemen and marshals and sheriffs and others are taking the cracker to court. But she said that there should be others who are armed, Lorraine Hansberry talking, who will shoot from their windows, she said, when these races come into our community. Now that's Lorraine Hansberry. Some of y'all say, what kind of berry was strawberry? Who? Lorraine Hansberry. What's that? What's raspberry. Who is Lorraine Raspberry? I said Hansberry. What kind of berry is a Hansberry? Go and look up. She's gone on to the realm of the Egun now, to her ancestors. But study about Lorraine Hansberry and look up her work, A Raisin in the Sun. And you will get a feel for her and a feel for her life. And she talked about shooting, and there would be others who would be shooting from their windows when the races would come into our community. I'm almost finished. I don't believe that taking the cracker to court is going to solve it. But I would rather see our brothers who are gaining consciousness on the police force, FBI, CIA, marshals and sheriffs and others, take the cracker to court while they organize on another level. But when you take Frank James to court and Jesse James is the judge, how in the hell do you expect Jesse James to convict Frank James when that's his brother? If Frank James took something from you and you come to court and tell Jesse that Frank took it from you, all Jesse is concerned with is whether Frank left anything over for him to take. So when you take the white man to court, you're taking the criminal to the criminal, into a criminal justice system set up by crackers, criminals, and Satan himself. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. The Bible says blood will flow in the streets to the horse's bridle. Can you imagine that? A horse's bridle? Blood will flow in the streets to the horse's bridle. Another scripture says, as you have delighted in taking our blood, you will be given your own blood to drink like water. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, my spiritual father, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, when we were tight, 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 and close, 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 he used to tell me, as he was teaching me, and he would tell many of us, how when he was sitting with his spiritual father, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, how sometimes he would be riding in the car with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and white folks would be passing in front of the car at the stoplight, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would touch him and say, Brother Lewis, have you ever seen a people in whom there is no good at all? And Minister Farkas said, no, sir, dear apostle. He said, well, there goes one right there. No good in them at all. And he says the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to talk about how he would torture the white man, how he would like to take his fingernails off one by one, take his eyeballs out of the socket, what he would do with the skin of the white man, and how he said he would like to cut crackers' throats or cut devils' throats until the blood started rising up to his chin. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told me from his own mouth that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that as he cut white folks' throats, cut the devil's throats, and the blood rose up, coming up over his head, that he prayed that Allah would give him the strength to just cut one more cracker's throat before the blood rose up over his head. Now, for some of you, this subject may be a little rough. They should have issued you some seat belts when you came in. And if for any reason this cultural center becomes depressurized, an oxygen mask will automatically fall from the ceiling. Please place it firmly over your mouth and nose and breathe freely, and then help the weak one next to you. But everything will be all right. You don't give me a subject on police brutality. and expect me to come and tiptoe and just speak on police review boards and speak on how we can find ways to take them to court. And no, what I'm going to tell you tonight, in the language that I will tell you tonight, I probably have never said directly, though I have said indirectly and partially directly many times. We must arm ourselves or harm ourselves. We must arm the masses. Are you saying that? Yes, as brother points to his head, we must be armed with supreme wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We must be armed with our history, our heritage, our culture, our legacy, our God, and the spirit and the power of the God of our ancestors. We must be armed with steel cameras, video cameras, film cameras, so that black people like Dr. Huey P. Newton and brother Bobby Seale and brother Kwame Ture, like the Black Panther Party in the early days, made sure to monitor every time cops stop black people anywhere on the streets or in an alley. You should have your video camera going. You should have your camera taking pictures. You should have your tape recorder on. You should be armed with your tape recorder, your video camera. You should be armed with your steel camera, with your movie camera. You should be, or whatever, the millimeters, I don't know all that stuff. You know what I'm talking about. What they call them, all them things that you take the home movies and stuff with. Huh? I guess I got a super ace all. I got to learn the weapons. I got to learn the weapons. You got to be armed with all of that. But we also got to arm ourselves with weapons. But I thought you were the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam, well, I'd love to be with the Nation of Islam. But the Nation of Islam at this point apparently has no place for me and has pushed me out and has now put me off limits. I can't attend any mosque anywhere in the Nation of Islam. I'm not going to sit down in a corner and cry. I'm going to stand up and fight this peckerwood, fight this bastard as best I can. And I believe we must arm ourselves or harm ourselves. If we were all armed, we'd have a better community. There would be less rape in the black community. Ain't no damn fool going to run up on a bunch of women knowing all of them packing. Any kind of heat in your pants behind your zipper is going to get awfully cold when sister pull out a 9mm. Huh? Be less rape in the black community if all were armed. Our elders would be way able to walk the streets and go cash their little checks. If you knew that Uncle Bubba, Aunt Chili Red, Big Mama, that Big Mama and Uncle Naps, huh, cutting all my jeans, don't be acting like you out here in Queens and you ain't got nobody in your family with them names. Because you left the cornbread crumbs a trail on your way coming in here. Look. Don't you know with nobody or very few would rob Big Mama? Or cutting Norma Jean, trying to go cash her little check if they knew that they had a piece, if they knew they had their gat with them? Huh? Don't you know that Malcolm would probably still be alive that Sunday, February 21st, 1965, if fools walked into that auditorium and knew that everybody in the auditorium was armed to the teeth? You don't walk in to take out the people's hero, and you know everybody in the damn audience is armed. Even the little old lady didn't snuff in the audience, got her pistol in her purse. Now, hell, you going to shoot Malcolm and make it out of the damn door? Queen Mother Moore tells the story of the days when she was with the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. And they were at the ILA, the International Longshoremen's Association Hall, in New Orleans, Louisiana. And they were trying to deport Mr. Garvey from the country. And the chief of police had told Mr. Garvey, had sent a decree out in an order, that if Marcus Garvey spoke at the Longshoremen's Hall, he said, I'm going to run you in. I'm going to arrest you. And so Mr. Garvey showed up, and the members of UNIA showed up, and Queen Mother Moore and all the young girls were there. And you know Queen Mother could tell the story when she was telling the story. She's saying, honey, you know how she tell it, honey. She say the chief of police rolled up with police everywhere. And Mr. Garvey was there, ready to speak. And the chief of police stuck his finger in the air. And he said, if you say a word, Garvey, I'll run you in. And Queen Mother Moore saying, honey, we all stood up on the chairs. She said, we reached under our dresses and we reached in our bras and we reached them. She said, Colt 45s and Smith and Wessons and everything went in the air. And she said, all you could hear was a choir or a chorus from the people saying, speak, Garvey, speak. And Mr. Garvey said it as I was saying. Garvey said it as I was saying. Some of you are foolish enough to say, well, no, what we need is books. Yes, we need books. We must study. We must study from our scholars. We must study from Dr. Ben. We must study from Dr. Clark. We must study from Dr. Maulana Karenga. We must study from Dr. Ivan Van Sertima, Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop, Dr. George G.M. James, Dr. Jeffries, and Dr. Jeffries, and on, we must study all of them. But at the same time, we can't say I ain't gonna study war no more.